perhaps. Yeah, good evening. Last session before the party. Appreciate you coming along. I'm going to be covering today video streaming, video encoding, live video streaming, essentially all the ingredients that you need in order to set up essentially a TV station. It used to be that setting up a TV station cost millions of dollars, required a huge capital investment, very, very sophisticated and custom hardware to have it running. And the reality with IPTV is that, and cloud services like I'm going to show you, pretty much anybody can set up a TV channel. Pretty much anybody can stream live video in a very, very cost-effective and fairly simple way. So that's what we're going to do today. Over the next hour, I'm going to set up a TV channel, and I'm going to create a TV program of this session and broadcast it to the world. I'm sure it's going to become a viral hit. And if everything works and if the network works for us, then you'll all be able to watch the session as you sit in the session. So it's kind of like a video meta session. My name's Nick Ward. I'm a technical specialist in Azure. I work for Microsoft based in Melbourne. This is what we're going to be setting up. So we'll have a camera, not something as impressive looking as that. I'll be using the webcam just on my laptop. But if you're going to set up a real live TV channel, you could go all out. You could use anything from a webcam through to a professional level industrial TV camera or anything in between. I've worked with a number of customers that have used a digital SLR as their camera, and that's produced really great results streaming video through to their viewers. We're also going to be using, and maybe I shouldn't be using my hands, so we can see what I'm pointing to here. Oops, let me get the pointer. So, camera is then going to be sending the live video feed through to my laptop, obviously, because it's a webcam, that's pretty simple. But we need a piece of software that's going to accept that live stream of video and then send it up to the cloud. And there's a number of streaming protocols that that we support in Azure for sending a live video stream to. But you need some sort of encoder that's going to be able to take the live video stream and send it to our endpoint in the cloud in the appropriate protocol. So in this case, I'm going to be using a free piece of software called OBS, Open Broadcaster Software. There's a whole bunch of different software options you could choose for this component. As I say, OBS is open source, it's free, you can download it and start using it the way I'm going to be doing today. But again, you can go anything from that up to industrial grade broadcasting software. Essentially, you need the ability to do things like that a director or a producer would do. Things like you might want to have some intro screens. You might want to cut to this camera to see that person speaking. You might want to then fade to a different camera and show that person speaking. There is a role for doing some editing at this point, some live production style editing. Now, again, how sophisticated you want to get with doing that is up to you. I've had customers using this for live streaming company meetings, and it's pretty straightforward. They just have a holding screen, which is what I'm going to be showing you today. They cut from the holding screen to the live video feed when the CEO or what have you starts talking, and then they cut to a finishing screen right at the end. So somebody just hits a button a couple of times, and that's the total extent of their production for that hour. But again, you can do anything from that through to live your dreams of becoming a movie director or whatever it might be. So from that software, OBS in our case, we're going to be sending the live video stream via RTMP, that's the protocol I'm going to be using, to Azure Media Services, which is an Azure service for working with video. It essentially presents you a whole bunch of API endpoints that you can manipulate video with. You can do a whole bunch of different things with it. You can upload video to media services. It doesn't have to be a live stream. You can upload a static video. Maybe you've taken a video with your camera. It's an MP4. You can upload that MP4 to Azure Media Services. You can then transcode that video, so you can convert it into different formats. You can convert it into different bit rates. So you might have a very high quality video, and you want to be able to stream that video to players that are on poor networks, perhaps. So you might want to have different bit rates for that video. Well, Media Services can create those different bit rates for you. It can stream video. It can send the video in a ongoing stream to client players. So players can watch a video stream interactively and fast forward and rewind and, you know, move around, pause, etc., all of that live streaming goodness. It does that with adaptive bitrate streaming. So as the quality of the network that player is on gets better or worse, it will adaptively send a higher quality bitrate or a lower quality bitrate, depending on what the network's doing at the time. It allows you to analyze video, do things like get the transcript of the audio out of that video, and then save that away maybe for a searchable database. So you can not just search for the video name, but you can search for spoken text within the video, or spoken words within the video. We've got a number of customers doing that with training libraries of videos. So upload all of the training libraries, do a transcript of all of them, and then you've got a searchable index of all of the spoken words of all of your training libraries, so you can find things much more flexibly than just by the file name. You can then also translate that into other languages using something like the translation APIs that we offer. You can put closed captions back onto the video if you wish, and stream those closed captions. So if you have a video and you want somebody able to watch that video but closed captions in a different language, you could do that. You can even do video analytics, things like find all of the faces in this video. Find movement in this video. You might have a camera trained on a door that is not supposed to open, for example. And when you see movement in the video, the door opening, then you might want to send some sort of alert. So all sorts of different video analytics you can do with Media Services as well. Media Services uses Azure Storage to actually store all of the video files that it works with. So we're going to be using that. We have a technology called the Azure Media Player. One of the real challenges with video and embedding video into your applications and your usage is, how do you get it to play on the devices that your viewers are going to be using? It's a difficult problem. iOS devices, Android devices, PCs, potentially even Xboxes, PlayStations, maybe even to set-top boxes. They all have different standards, they all have different streaming protocols, they all have different technologies that you need to implement in order to play your video on all of those different platforms. We offer a media player with Azure Media Services. We call it the Azure Media Player. It's a cross-platform video player that works with Azure Media Services. We offer it for free, so there's no cost to deploying and using this. And it makes it as simple to play video from Media Services as plonking a reference onto a web page, and then the player will render on that web page. It will interrogate the platform to see, what am I on? Okay, I'm on iOS, therefore I'm going to request an HLS stream from Media Services, which is the Apple standard for media streaming, and I'm going to get the video in a format that's going to play nicely on this iOS device. If it loads up on a PC, I'm on a PC. Well, I'm I'm in a modern browser like Edge, so I'm going to request a dash format stream. Or I'm on an older browser like IE, so I'm going to request a Silverlight stream. And so this is all handled invisibly to you. You just embed the player onto your web page, and your video plays. Solves a whole bunch of problems. I've written AMP demo there because we offer an Azure Media Player demo site that we'll take a look at just to get familiar with the player. And then we'll actually create a website and put that media player into a web page so that we can view that on a variety of devices. And that's where you all come into the picture. And hopefully, with a little bit of luck and the wind in our favor, you'll be able to see a video of me. Well, maybe luck is an interesting question at that point. I've got a little bit of code in GitHub as well, which I'll show you that is going to embody that website that's going to deploy onto our webpage that you'll be able to have a look at. All right, so let's get started. Now, in the best tradition of cooking shows, I do have a couple of things already provisioned, and I'll explain what they are and why. So here, right in the middle, is the Azure Media Services account. Now, this is as simple to provision as saying new Azure Media Services account, give it a name, select a storage account, and provision. It's a very simple provisioning process. But as part of that provisioning process, we will provision a CDN profile and endpoint for you, a content distribution network endpoint for you. The CDN distributes the video content to all sorts of endpoints around the planet so that wherever people in the world are viewing your video from, they're able to stream that video from local endpoints as long as somebody else has streamed the same video within some sort of time period close to when they're viewing it. So it gives, particularly for frequently watched videos, it gives a much better experience and much higher bitrate transmission of video to those players. The nice thing is you don't have to do anything. It just gets provisioned along with the media services account, gets configured and connected to the media services account for you, and it just works. The downside is that the CDN takes about 20 minutes to replicate all around the world, which is not bad when you think of what it's doing, but it's a bit of a drag when it's in an hour-long demo. So that's why I've provisioned it already. There's one other thing that I'll show you in a moment as well, which takes a little bit of time. So that's the CDN profile that we have, the media services account, and the storage account. But this is just a vanilla deployment of this at this point. If I go into the media services account, there's one more thing that I've warmed up to show you, and that's because it's also a process that takes about 15 minutes to kick off. So I started it just before we got underway. I'll show you a bunch of things about the media services capability in a moment, but I just want to jump straight to the live streaming feature, which is what we're going to be using. With the live streaming feature, we have this concept of channels. So you can set up multiple channels in your media services account. A channel is essentially a connection point that your on-premises encoder, or your camera essentially, is going to send the video stream to. So it's going to send it to that channel in Azure Media Services. And a channel takes about 15 minutes to start. So again, in a demo, it's not necessarily a great experience, but creating them is relatively straightforward. So I'll go through the custom create process to show you what's involved. I select a type of channel, and we offer two types, pass-through and live encoding. A pass-through channel just takes the stream that you're sending in and then sends it on its way through to the viewers. A live encoding channel takes the stream that you're providing in, creates all of the different bit rates on the fly for you, and then sends out an adaptive bitrate stream to the viewers on the end. So the one I've already provisioned is a live encoding channel, and it's just a matter of selecting live encoding at that point. I can create a second channel here, and I could give it a description and start it after creation. Okay. You select the protocol, and there's a couple of different protocols. Actually, just quick check on font size. Can the folks up the back see these texts okay? Great, excellent. I zoomed in, hopefully, thinking it would be good enough. So RTMP is the one that we're using. We can put an IP restriction on the ingest point. So if you don't want just anybody from any IP address sending video to your channel, so you can lock it down to just your environment. Hopefully nobody gets really, really clever and starts sending video to my channel because I haven't locked it down, but you can do that. The channel offers a preview of the video stream. So before it does all of that encoding of the multiple bit rates and before it sends it off as an adaptive bitrate stream, you can view the video sort of as it's coming into the channel. So as soon as it hits the channel, it gives you a direct stream of that to say, well, this is what I'm seeing at the moment. So you can just preview that. And again, you can put an IP restriction on that so not any just anybody can see the preview. And then because I've selected a live encoding channel, I select an encoding preset. And there's one 720p default selected here, which basically is a default construct. It'll create a 720p stream and then a bunch below that. We do higher. We do up to 4K transmission of video. But if you want something more sophisticated, then at this stage, you set up a custom preset and you work with us actually through the support desk to set up what presets you actually want. But 720p is good enough for the vast majority of enterprise scenarios, I would say. And then we can simply hit the create button, and that'll go ahead and create, and about 15 minutes later, we'll have another channel started up and ready to go. But instead of going and creating that, as I say, I've already created one here, my Ignite TV channel. So it's currently in a running state. I have my preview URL there. I have my ingest URL. So this is you can see it's the RTMP protocol. This is the endpoint that I need to send my live video stream to in order for the channel to pick that up. And I'll come back to that in a moment, but let me just copy that. And I'm going to swap over to Open Broadcaster software at this point, which is my system for running the camera and sending the feed up to media services. If I go into settings here and I go into broadcast settings, you can see here that there's a, well, this is starting to get a pretty small font. Unfortunately, I can't expand the fonts on this, but we can see there that there's my RTMP URL that I've selected, which is the one that I just picked up from the channel that's already started. All right, so that's set up. There's a bunch of other settings in OBS that you can configure. What's the quality of the video that you want to be sending through? How many frames per second? A whole bunch of different controls you have over what that video stream is actually going to be. I have actually downgraded the quality of it a bit because I'm not sure how good the network is that I'm running on here. And it's also pretty CPU intensive. So encoding video takes a lot of grunt, and we'll actually see when I swap to the web camera, it's normally pretty noticeable. My machine actually starts to slow down. You know, the mouse starts to go like this and that sort of stuff. So that's even with lowering the quality of the stream a little bit. But I'm going to now hit start streaming. And one of the things that OBS allows us to do is have images displayed. So I've just got a JPEG displayed here saying the show will start soon. You can see that I'm not exactly a graphic designer. And I can take off that, and now we've got the video camera itself being sent through. For some reason, I'm looking purple. It's interesting. Oh, that's why I'm looking purple. There you go. So now that live stream is being sent up to media services, we're not quite ready to start yet, so I'm going to go back to my in-roll image and display that, and we'll get the show underway. All right. So at this point, I've got my camera. It's recording, or at least showing the in-roll image. It's sending that stream to Azure Media Services and to this channel. So what we want to do now is start watching it. To see what's going on. And I'm going to go to a URL here. It's ampdemo.azureedge.net. But if you just search for Azure Media Player, you'll find it pretty easily. This is the Azure Media Player. So this is what it looks like here, this box. It's playing a demo video that's provided for you to have a look at. Now, I have disabled audio just as an FYI. I've turned audio off just because it comes annoying and we get, you know, circling audio because I'm watching what I'm recording and all that sort of stuff. So I've done that, but audio absolutely works as part of all of this in a normal scenario. So the Azure Media Player gives you a whole bunch of things out of the box. You can skin it to a certain extent. You can certainly take off the media services watermark, so that doesn't have to be displayed on your video when you use it. But a little bit of advertising, I guess, never goes astray. But I can do a whole bunch of things. I can pause, I can play, I can rewind and jump around the video, and it moves with me. I can select an auto bit rate, so this is adaptive streaming at this point. It's just going to pick the best bit rate based on the network speed that I have between me and the media services endpoint. But if I want, I can select something lower. So I could go down to a 180p feed, which we should see the video quality start to drop as we move on to the lower quality feed. But there's no particular reason to do that. Pause, mute, go full screen, all of those sorts of things that you would expect out of the player. In short, if you're a real TV station or setting up a movie subscription service, you're probably going to want a more sophisticated player than this. But if you want to stream the company town hall, perfectly adequate. For that sort of requirement, and really, really easy to use. Let's get out of full screen there for a moment. Now, what I should be able to do at this point is get... Oh, I haven't started a show yet, so let me start a live event. We've got the channel, and we've got the video stream coming into the channel. It's not actually sending it out anywhere at this point other than just the preview. But that's the preview is not for mass audience. It's just to check to make sure everything's okay. So let's set up what we call a program or a live event to actually create something that's going to be broadcast for people to see. So the idea here is we have a channel and we can have multiple programs or multiple events on that channel. And a channel, a program, is essentially a time window. So it might start at 20 past five, and it might go till 5:30, or it might start at 5 o'clock and finish at 6 o'clock, or whatever you want it to be. We do have a maximum window, which is something around, off the top of my head, about 24 hours, I think, and change. But you set up how long you want that archive window to be. And what that means is the live stream is going to be buffered for as long as you build that archive for. So if somebody comes along to the video stream late, let's say you started the program at 5 o'clock and they come in at 5:15, well, they can either choose, I'll watch the live stream at 5:15 and just watch from there, or I can actually go back to 5 o'clock and I can go back, in this case, up to 8 hours into the past to watch the video if I'm a little bit late to the show. So let's call this, I've been calling my practice ones test show, so let's call this the real thing. I get an asset name given to me, which is just the channel hyphen, the program name. An asset in video terminology is essentially the video file that gets created, but it's a little bit more than that. So when I do this live stream, what media services will actually do is not throw it away once I've finished. Once I've finished, it will convert it into a video on demand asset so that anybody can come along and watch the replay of that live event anytime they want. And so that's essentially a video file that it creates that can be streamed at any time. But of course, it's not one file. It's many files in different bit rates and different formats and audio only and those sorts of things. So that's the asset that will be created. An asset is essentially a single unit, but there might be multiple files in that asset with different bit rates and so forth. That's just essentially the difference between an asset and a file. You can set up encryption on that file. I'm not going to set up encryption, but you can choose AES or full DRM. So these are different video encryption standards. If it's a corporate asset and it's a bit sensitive, I might set up AES and then only people with the appropriate key can view that. With DRM, we can plug in Microsoft PlayReady DRM, Apple FairPlay, and Google Widevine DRM into the media services stream so that we have full-blown DRM, which allows us to create all sorts of business rules on, you know, this person, this individual can watch this video, but only between these hours, and it expires 24 hours after the right is granted, and so forth. It's what the movie studios use for the streaming services when you rent a video or buy a video from a streaming service. So we can incorporate that in. We certainly don't need to go to that extent for this particular example. Do I want to publish this now? Do I want to start the event now? Yes, I do. So let's hit OK. And it goes off and creates the live event. Live event created. And we should see the real thing, live event, is in a starting mode at this point. So we'll wait for it to get fully started. It'll just should just take a couple of seconds and it'll get going. All right, and we can see that we get a URL for this stream. Now, this is an HTTP protocol URL. It's not a website, though. You don't have users go directly to this URL to see a web page or what have you. This is the URL of the published stream of video. So what we can do is we can take this URL, and I'll do that in a moment, but I'll just point out Media Services has this concept of dynamic packaging. Different platforms require the video to be packaged in different formats. Previously, you would have to take a video and then encode it into all of the different packaged formats for the different platforms that you want to support. So if you wanted to support iOS and Android and Chrome and Edge and IE, then you'd have to have potentially four or five different versions of this file. And then, of course, if you want multiple bit rates, you might have maybe five or six copies of the file anyway for the different bit rates. So you multiply that out and all of a sudden you've got 30 or 40 files for this one video stream. Media Services simplifies that somewhat with dynamic packaging. So we store the file once and then we dynamically package that file into the different formats that are required by the different platforms. And we do that on the fly. So you don't have to store those files in those statically packaged formats anymore, which saves a whole bunch of disk space and a whole bunch of time in terms of encoding those files. All of these different endpoints will give you the stream in those different packaged formats. So if all you care about is iOS, then you can just pick up the HLS URL here, put that into your iOS app, and away you go. It'll play in Apple's streaming format. But one of the nice things about Media Services and the Media Player is we can just take one URL which has a manifest quality to it, if you will, that the player interrogates the platform it's on, accesses the one URL, and just sends a bit of information to say, give it to me in this format, and Media Services will automatically serve the right format. So we actually don't need to worry about mucking around with the different format endpoints. That's just if we want more dynamic control over it. We're going to be using Azure Media Player, so I'm just going to select the given locator URL here and go to Azure Media Player into the demo site. I can put in, put in my URL for my stream. And hopefully, with a bit of luck, we should see that the program is about to start soon. There we go. So that's my video stream being sent through Media Services to Azure Media Player. And now we can take off the in-roll image. What an exciting video this is going to be, eh? Can't wait to watch the replay. You'll see that this still says the show will start soon. So this is an important thing to understand. I suppose I should stay here, otherwise it's going to be a blank video. Maybe that's preferable though, so maybe I will wander over. So it's saying the show will start soon, and it's going to say this for probably about 30 or 40 seconds, if everything goes according to plan. Sometimes it can be a little bit longer than that, depending on the network quality. So it started up now. But that's basically the amount of time taken to send the stream from my PC up to the endpoint, all of that encoding to happen, and then it starts to deliberately delay and chunk the video so that we can achieve a nice smooth stream out the end. If we just send it straight through immediately, then we've got no buffer in the system, if you will, which just will result in a poorer experience for viewers. And so all up, those delays end up summing up to somewhere around 30 or 40 seconds delay between the actual video and what you see published. But at this point, we've got this live video stream being sent out around the world via the Azure CDN to anybody that loads this player and puts in that endpoint. But let's package it up a little bit more nicely for anybody that wants to view this video. And in order to do that, we can see within Azure Media Player, we have a bunch of other things. We have some diagnostics on what's actually going on here, so we can see real-time stats of bandwidth and video sent and all those sorts of things, which is great. We can also get a share code, get embed code if we just want to embed this onto an existing page, or we can get the player code itself. So if we want to put this into our own web app, then we just copy this code into our page. So let's go ahead and do that. Let's go back to Azure and let's set up a web app to be able to stream this from. And you can see my PC starting to struggle a little bit, so I might actually just put on the enroll image again, just because it slows down my machine, the Open Broadcast software doing all of the on-PC encoding. So let's get a web app. Let's get a web app. And we'll create a new one and we'll publish a little web page to it to stream it out. All right, there it is. Create. And I'm going to use a very particular name because I've set up a shortcut URL for you to be able to type in. Hopefully nobody's taken it in the meantime. Put it in there, put it in my resource group, my AMS demo, Azure Media Services demo. I'll put it on an existing app service plan. So if people are not familiar with an Azure web app, we have a concept of an app service plan, which allows me to put multiple web apps into the one plan, scale out the plan as need be. I've got one that I already use for demo, so I'm just going to put this new web app into that existing plan, so I don't have to pay any additional for this new web app that I'm going to be provisioning. So that's done, deployment succeeded. So if we go into this resource group and refresh, we should see a new web app there and available to use. There it is, Hectagon TV demo. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to set up the deployment source for this web app to be a GitHub repository that I have, and I'll show you the code that I've got in there in just a moment. But let's set up deployment options. And we'll wire this up to GitHub to get my code automatically deployed. Choose a project. It's my amsdemo.web project. Click OK. And the Azure web app is now going to access GitHub, pull down my code, build it if necessary, which is not really necessary, deploy it onto my web app, and start serving my application code. Now, just while it's doing that, if we go onto there, we should see that hopefully starting to kick off. So it's fetching it from GitHub. Let me show you what that code is. It's very simple. There's just my in-roll and end-roll JPEGs. They're not actually used by the website, but I've put it into the repository just so I've, you know, saving it away. All there really is a default.html page and a main.js JavaScript file. Let's have a look at what's in those. In my default.html, very, very simple. Just a heading, no video yet, and a reference to my main.js. in my main.js is nothing. So all very empty at the moment. There's really not much in there. And if we go and have a look, that's now deployed onto my web app. If we go and have a look at that, we should see that URL that there's just a heading saying no video yet. Cool. So let's go back to the Azure Media Player and follow the bouncing ball. Copy the code into the head of your HTML5 page. Okay, so let's copy that, which gives us a couple of references to the Azure Media Player file and script. So that's great. Copy the video tag into the body of my HTML5 page. So let's go and do that. Let's change the heading while we're at it. Here is the awesome video. So that's just plugging in a video tag and giving an ID of Azure Media Player and setting up some characteristics via the class, which Azure Media Player will use to customize the look and feel and the capabilities in the video player itself. So you can see I'm using the default skin, for example. There's going to be a big play button centered in the video when it first loads, et cetera, et cetera. There's a bunch of different ways that you can control that. And then last but not least, copy this code into the JavaScript file. So copy and go to my JavaScript file and paste. And this, again, just has a few more options, width and height of the player, whether I'm going to support touch by default, a couple of other bits and pieces, including what is the source of my video stream. And this source is pointing to that URL that I pasted into the AMP demo website just before, basically the streaming endpoint for my video. Okay, so that's it. I'm going to save my changes to my JavaScript file, change my save my changes, change my savers, into my HTML page. Go to GitHub, added in video. Let's commit that. Sync it up. So it'll just take a moment to sync up to GitHub. There we go. If we go back to my web app and have a look at the deployment options, we should hopefully see that kicks off a resynchronization. So added in video, just added at 5:38, good. And if we go to my video and hit refresh, here is the awesome video saying the show will start soon. Let's go back a little bit. Because I joined a little bit late. The program started, 12 minutes ago or something like that. So I can go back to the video to the starting point and watch at any point in this video I like. And so at this point, let me just start the get rid of the in-roll. So we're going to go back to real live streaming video now and go to aka.ms/AUTV on whatever flavor of device you happen to be rocking in your pocket. And see if it works. Hopefully, with a little bit of luck, that should just work. So if I go back to the live, I can go back to live feed with the player just by hitting the live button. Anybody seeing some video? Oh, sorry, you want the... Yep, there's a couple of things going there. Awesome. The URL, again, is aka.ms/AUTV. And you might get some video audio coming through, of course. But yeah, I can hear it playing on a few videos. So it really doesn't matter whether you're using Android, iOS, a PC, Chrome, IE, Edge, etc., etc. It should all just render and work. So it's pretty simple. Pretty simple to set up. I'm going to set up my end roll image now. Thanks very much for watching. And I can go back here to my Azure Media Services account and stop the program because it's pretty much done and happened. So let's scroll down here. Go to our live streaming tab within Azure Media Services again. Go to our Ignite TV channel, and I'm going to hit not stop the channel. I'm going to go into the Real Thing program and hit stop. And that is now going to stop that live event. So it's not going to be live streaming to any of your players anymore. But what you should find happens is reasonably elegant. In about 30, 40 seconds or so, it should stop and turn into a video on demand asset. Just automatically. Azure Media Services takes care of that for us. So it's still stopping the live event. Let's just give it a moment to get that done. Okay, it's stopped the live event. Excellent. And so now, if so you see on my screen here, down the bottom, you can see it now says 14 minutes 50 out of 14 minutes 50. It no longer has the live tag. So this is not a live asset anymore because we're not live streaming, but it is a video on demand asset. So I can still jump around this, hit the play button, and I can watch that whole event to my heart's content. That is a piece of video production right there. Look at that. It's Steven Spielberg's going to get a little worried at this point, I think. So that's it. Hit play and there it goes. I can come back to this tomorrow. I can hit this from anywhere around the world and watch this video to my heart's content. Speaking of watching it anywhere around the world, I mentioned before that the CDN is provisioned. So I can support a huge number of viewers watching this video through using the content distribution network and distributing this video out to all points around the planet. If I really think this is going to be incredibly popular, I can go here to my streaming endpoints, which a streaming endpoint in media services is actually the server infrastructure that's going to be sending out the video to the CDN, which is then going to be sending it to the viewers. If I have lots of content, the CDN works really, really well for everybody watching the same content at about the same time. That's where the CDN really, really works very, very nicely. So for live events or really, really popular videos, it works a treat and scales up dramatically the number of viewers that can watch that video simultaneously. But if I have a bunch of varied content and I've got lots and lots of viewers, but they're watching different videos all the time, then I can scale up my streaming endpoint. So in this case, I've got one streaming unit allocated to my streaming endpoint, but I can scale this up. If I go into settings, I can scale this up to multiple streaming units and start to pump out a lot more video directly from Azure Media Services so I can sustain a lot more users. And we go really, really large with this stuff. We broadcast the Olympics. We've done the Olympics summer and winter for the last several occasions. And that's been broadcast and picked up and used by NBC in the United States and a whole bunch of other stations around the world. Unfortunately, not Channel 7 here in Australia, but you may remember what happened to that feed, so probably good that it wasn't on us. Scaling up to the hockey match in the Winter Olympics between the US and somebody when they're going for gold medal, I think that still holds the record for most number of HD streams delivered for any IPTV program in history. Or maybe we pipped it when we did the World Cup, because we did the World Cup as well, the Soccer World Cup. So these are massive events with millions of watchers, millions of HD streams being sent out. So it's extremely scalable what you can pump out with Azure Media Services. But it also scales right down. So if I just want to use it for an hour to broadcast my town hall meeting for my company, then I can do that and I pay a couple of dollars and I turn it off and I'm done. I don't need to pay for that anymore. If I don't think my video is going to be very popular at all, then I can even scale down to a standard endpoint, which doesn't allow me to scale it out. So I'm not going to be able to serve huge amounts of video, but it's cheaper. The ongoing cost of being able to stream this is very low. Okay, a couple of other things I'd like to show you before I open it up for questions. If I go into storage, my storage account, just to have a look at what's actually been created there. I'm still sending my video to the channel, so I'm just going to stop streaming that. Excellent. Just hopefully my PC will pick up the pace a little. So here's my storage account. If I go into blob storage, I'll see that some containers have been created for those shows, that those programs that I've recorded. So let's go to blobs. Gee, the network does seem to be slow. I'm happy that it did actually stream that video successfully, because it doesn't seem blazingly fast at the moment, just to get a list of containers. So I've got a container for each program. So I've done about four or five programs, a few in test, and then the live one that we just did. So a different container for each program. And then if we go into that, then we'll see a whole bunch of files in different folder structures for the different bit rates and so forth that get created, because I was doing the adaptive bit rate, the live encoding model. There's a bunch of different bit rate video files that have been created underneath those folder structures. So that's actually what gets created, and then that's all wrapped up in the concept of an asset in media services, and then that asset can be streamed out from that point on. If we actually go back to the media services account for a moment, we'll be able to see that asset and the details around it. So let me just scoot down a little bit. Go to assets. And we see that we can upload an asset. That is, we could just have an MP4 file that we want to upload. We could then set up an encoding job to break that down into different formats and bit rates and so forth as we need to. It's a whole bunch of video formats that we support, from, you know, the consumer level stuff right through to the professional level video formats as well. So we can see there's my real thing asset. It's sitting at about 1 gig in size. So, you know, the videos are pretty large because the quality is pretty good. And I can do a bunch of things here. I could further encode it into different formats if I wanted to. I don't particularly at this point. I can analyze it. And this is quite interesting. This is where I mentioned before, we've got a whole bunch of video analytics built into media services that allow you to make sense of the content of the video that's being recorded. And I want to show you here a service that we've put together. It's currently in preview. It's called Video Breakdown, and you can go to videobreakdown.com and you can sign in for free and have a bit of a play around with it. I'm going to give a bit of a shout out to the Logic Apps team, who are actually here in the audience. They have an awesome show that everybody should be watching called Logic Apps Live, that's on about once a month and tells you everything you need to know about what's happening in the world of Logic Apps. They're actually just over there, so you can ask them anything you want to ask about integration and Logic Apps. Sorry?
Live tomorrow.
Live tomorrow. There you go. Yeah, the next show's on tomorrow. Brilliant. Live from Australia. Love it. So the last one's actually been uploaded to Video Breakdown. So I'm going to highlight this one, and I'll show you the kind of analytics that we can do in Azure Media Services. So this portal is basically a portal that we've built on top of media services to let you use some of its stuff. So what we can do here is, of course, we can play the video and we can actually watch that. There it is, the guy's live on stage. Well, no, not live, it's pre-recorded. But if we have a look at here at the cognitive insights that we found, you can see three little pictures there, if I zoom in a little bit. You can see three pictures. It's found three people in this video right throughout the contents of the video, and it's pulled out a little thumbnail image of each of those. And so I can see, if I click on any of these, let's click on Jeff here, for example, the black components here, this is when Jeff was speaking. So I can click on here, and go to that part of the video, and theoretically we should see Jeff talking. Okay, we're seeing Kevin talk, which is interesting. Maybe it's back a little bit. Maybe that's actually just showing us when... is that just showing us when somebody's talking? I thought it was showing us... Oh, I'm sorry. That's actually showing us just when somebody is talking, I think, as opposed to the individual that's talking. It's picked out topics. So this is quite interesting. What we've done here is pretty significant. The first thing we've done is we've produced a transcript. So you can see here that the transcript's been pulled out of the audio track of the video, and it's timed so that we can see it follow along. I mean, the UI is doing some snazzy stuff to show you it being timed, which is great, but picking it out is really interesting as well. And you can see that we do actually know, if you have a look at the little thumbnail there, we do actually know who's speaking at the time that they're speaking. So I can search for any text within this video that I might be interested in. But if I go down here, we've then taken that transcript, we've sent it to the Cognitive Services API to pick out what are the key things that are being referenced within all of this text. And we know that actually this video is about a guy named Jason. That's interesting. It's about logic. It's about actions, triggers, services, email, logic apps. From the video itself, from the visual images within this video, we've figured out that we're talking about file triggers, schemas, Twitter formatted timestamps. It's interesting. Let's see what's going on there. Yeah, so there we go. Twitter formatted timestamp has been pulled out as a piece of text in the actual in the video itself. So pretty clever stuff. We can even see the sentiment. So most of the video is positive. Apparently the guys were feeling a little negative just at the start, but they picked up pretty quickly, and it was a very positive video for the majority. There's one tiny little blip of red there that maybe we should examine and see what's going on. But that gives you an example of what Video Breakdown is about as a portal, but also what Azure Media Service is about in terms of its ability to make sense of the videos that you're putting through the service. And again, you can use Azure Media Services for live streaming if you want, but you don't have to. You can use any video you want, you can submit up to here. And in fact, through this portal, I can just click upload, I can pick a video, and I can upload it to the service and start playing around with it. We also have another service called Stream, stream.microsoft.com, which you can sign in with an Azure AD account and share videos within your organization. So it's free to sign up and to start using. And it essentially gives you almost like a YouTube for your organization. You can choose to secure your videos so only people in your organization can see those videos. Or if it's something that you want to broadcast more widely, you can do so and do it on a secure basis. You just want certain people outside your company watching it, that's fine. If you want to open it up to public, well, you can do that as well. So that's Stream, which is also a portal that's been built on top of Azure Media Services. There's also, if you're an Office 365 customer, there's Office 365 Video, which is an Office 365 service, which has also been built on top of Azure Media Services. So it's all using the same media plumbing underneath that I've been showing you. All right. That is what I wanted to go through. We've got about 15 minutes left at the end of the day before the party for questions. Does anybody have any questions? Yeah.
I noticed the media services has to be linked to a storage account.
Mm-hmm.
If you were using the service as part of your overall Azure solution, would you give it a dedicated storage account?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you actually just use one which you're using for something else?
Right. So the question is, media services uses Azure Storage. If we have an existing storage account, might we use that, or would we have a dedicated one? I'd probably argue for having a dedicated one. I'm 95% sure you can choose another one if you wanted to, but I'd argue against it anyway. because it just keeps all of those video assets, I feel, more manageable to have it in its own storage account. There's no additional cost for having an additional account. So I see that there's a management improvement at zero cost, so I'd still recommend to have a separate account anyway. That's my gut reaction, if you will. Yeah. Any other questions? Yeah.
What security mechanisms are available for the video? I guess when you copy and paste the link, you can always secure the facial processor. But is there anything on the video itself?
There is. So we support a couple of forms of encryption on the video. AES is a very popular encryption standard in video that encrypts the video file itself, and you need the key in order to view that. That's useful for when you trust the people that you're sharing the video with. If you don't trust the people that you're sharing the video with, but you still want them to have access, then you need to go to Digital Rights Management, DRM, which we support the major players, PlayReady, Apple Fairplay, and Google Widevine, which allows you to put full-blown DRM on the video. So time-based allocation of rights to view video. You can view it, you know, three times, but only on Wednesdays. You know, you make up the rules that you want the video to concur to. So it's Azure Media Services has been certified by the Motion Picture Association of America as a suitable service for storing major Hollywood productions. And so those guys are very concerned about leakage of video and piracy and, you know, videos being released before their due date and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. You can imagine they're pretty paranoid about this stuff. They've certified Azure Media Services for their content, so we're pretty secure. Was there another question? Yep, right at the back.
Is there any kind of API or something that you can switch the channel on and off without
getting through the portal? Yeah, so the question is there an API for switching the channel on and off? Yes, there is. So there's a REST API endpoint for Azure Media Services, which allows you to do a whole bunch of stuff around manipulating pretty much anything in it. There's also a .NET SDK that you can use to write .NET apps to interact with media services as well. Any other questions? Everybody's very keen to get to BandJam. Yeah, one other. So if there's a user that registers, can they create their own channel? Yeah. So you could code that. In fact, we've got a customer based in Sydney, which... Chris, can I mention the name? I'm not sure. Anyway, I'll mention what they're doing. Yeah. So it's a really interesting scenario. They offer a streaming service, a live streaming service like you've just seen, for schools. So the scenario is you've got the dance recital and somebody in the family can't make it along on the night, but they still want to participate in the action and see, little Susie up on stage doing the dance. And so the school is able to hit a button, start a live channel, stream that theatre production or whatever it is out to anybody in a secure way. So they restrict rights as to who's allowed to view that video. But if you're on a business trip and you can't see your child's performance, well, you could still log in and see it on video. So that's an example where they've got a web-based portal that the teachers can log into and set up a channel and set up a program and start it and stop it and all of those sorts of things. But they've made it, I guess the portal that they put on that is reasonably straightforward so that teachers who are not necessarily media experts can do that and provision and run with it. So you can create pretty sophisticated applications that dynamically change what media services is doing. Yep. Great. Excellent. Another question at the back?
How does the pricing work? Do you only pay while streaming or...?
Yeah, so there's a couple of elements to the price, which, it, well, actually, let me go back to show you. So the question was about how the pricing works for Azure Media Services. I will be the first person to point out that I'm not a pricing person, but I'll show you basically how it works. So it's all publicly available. Chris Allison, actually, Chris, would you mind putting up your hand? Chris is my colleague based in Sydney, but obviously here today, who understands this stuff in great levels of detail as well. So certainly would be very happy to have a chat with you, I'm sure, about how the pricing works in detail. But other than there's a storage charge, Azure Storage has a cost for storage allocated to it. The Azure CDN has an egress charge. If you do use media services with the CDN, you only pay the CDN egress charge. You don't pay the normal Azure network egress charge. If you don't use the CDN, then you do pay the normal Azure network egress charge. So there's the network charge, there's the storage charge, and then there's the media services specific components, which I'll cover here. So for live video, there's a cost to the live channel that I created. So when I start the channel, the meter starts ticking. So I can create a channel and have it turned off, and that's fine. But as soon as I start it, I'm going to be starting to be charged for that channel. And you can see that that's about $1 an hour for that channel to be running. That's for a pass-through channel. For a live encoding channel, it goes up, depending on how much you're actually doing, up to about $5.50 an hour. And then the other side of it is streaming. So that's for the channel. Then the streaming endpoint that's then sending the video out to the CDN, that has a component charge to it as well. So this would apply whether you are doing live video or whether you're doing video on demand. The channel only applies for the live feed, but the streaming would apply in either case. And you can see that's what, about $64 a month to have a streaming unit provisioned and running. And it can go up from there as you scale it up and move to the premium model and so forth. Yeah. So about $60 a month plus storage and egress is your ongoing charge. And then what was it, about $5 an hour for the live video channel if you want to do the encoding, or about $1 an hour if you want to just do the pass-through and not do the multiple bit rates. So it gives you an idea for how much. So, I mean, this demo that I've just done has probably, it'll probably end up costing me less than $10. Okay. So just to recap on what we've seen, sorry, if there's any other questions, please feel free to raise your hand or shout out. But I just sensed that it was starting to quieten down. So just to recap what we've seen, we've had a video camera hooked up to a piece of production software, in this case, OBS. That sent the live feed through to media services, which has stored that in Azure Storage and sent it to Azure Media Player sitting in a web app. Out to everybody's phone, and we also had a quick look at the Azure Media Player demo as well. So with that, there's a number of slides which I suspect you've seen once or twice, as I have, over the course of the week. So that's actually a really important one. Remember to collect your wristbands for Spark After Dark, Ignite Help Desk, Foyer C, Foyer Halls, three quarters. Maybe that's three and four. Excellent. Thank you very much for coming along and enjoy the party.